This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back, Lucha Lushes, and we have another special edition of Get to Know the PTBN PWO, I guess, Talking Sheet edition? Wrestling Twitter edition?
I love that name.
I'm not sure what the... Yeah, I know. I love that name, too. I don't know exactly what to say for sure. Maybe we'll get into it, but we've got Hugh Little here. Hugh, how's it going?
What's up, brother? What's up, Adrian?
What's going on?
Yeah, so, man.
I guess, elephant in the room, what's the deal? I mean, are you... Talking Sheet is on hiatus, maybe, kind of teasing coming back. Do you have any insight? And keep in mind, this will be coming out maybe a week or two after we're actually recording. So, you know, not necessarily anything that you have to be held to here. But as of right now, like, are you chomping at the bit to be putting stuff out there? Or are you just kind of enjoying your time laying low?
Oh, chomping at the bit, man. Yeah, so Talking Sheet, we kind of went on a little hiatus. And, you know, we all kind of had to deal with personal issues, professional issues, and all sorts of that. So, yeah, we haven't been recording for a few months. And Les and Celia and myself, we recently just we actually recently went to an NXT show in San Jose. And just going to there, we going to that show kind of got us like going and got us kind of talking, and so it sounds like I don't know, you know, depending on when this comes out, we will have shows coming up very shortly. This weekend didn't work out, which is the 12th today, and so we're trying to get in the next week or two and get the show recorded. I know Les has recorded a show with Jeff Hawkins, kind of catching Les on catching him up what's going on in the wrestling world. And
is it called Les You Know? It should be.
You know what? You should pitch that to him because he loves those kind of lines like that. he totally does. So during our talk we talked about the Sheeties coming up. And that's something that I felt like the whole wrestling community and we took kind of serious and in kind of a joking but serious way. And it's coming up, so it'd be the second year doing it. And we didn't want to let it die, so decided to do that. And so we kind of got to get that hype going for the Sheeties again. And so look forward to that. So yeah, man. Things are looking up for the Talking Sheet crew.
Yeah, no, totally. The Sheeties are kind of like the People's Choice Awards or something. It's like it's lighthearted in some ways, but you know that people voted for you. So yeah. Winning it is a big deal. Like, you know that it's the real fans are saying it. It's not just coming from a group of five or six people deciding who wins. It's you actually know you won for a reason. So it is cool. It's lighthearted, but it's not. It's definitely an honor to win. I know us on PTBN, we're very proud to have won, you know, Podcast Network last year and, you know, hopefully get some more going next year here or this year, I guess. Otherwise, I guess, Hugh, the important question that we always start out the show with is, are you now or have you ever been a member of the PWO board?
You know what? No, I haven't. so I'm not very good with boards in general. So I just kind of took my talking to the public to Twitter, and that's kind of my only really hangout. So,
okay, and just never a message board guy. You weren't on the Mac Dre message board forums back in the 90s or anything.
No, I never really was, man. And I did get on the F4W board when I first was starting out. You know, when we first started Talking Sheet, I was very much like, I didn't know anything. You know, I knew WWE and I followed it and was very casual. That's kind of the whole concept of who I am for the show. As Les is just insanely in tune to everything going on that comes out of Meltzer's mouth or Wade Keller's, you know? So I just kind of went at it, you know, just right. I mean, I guess it was like almost 2 years ago, and just learning from there. So, I'm kind of grasping on to where I can, you know, in the wrestling world and learning what I can. And, yeah, man. So not very familiar with the board.
No. And I mean, that has been a big positive, I think, from you and from Celia as well on the talking sheet, is that you guys always were very apt to learn more, and you kind of jumped in both feet first and just completely took it and were going crazy on indie wrestling. And I know that there was times I was sending you, you know, crazy matches with Dory Funk in Japan and his 70s wrestling random like anniversary shows and just crazy stuff like that. And you were always up to check it out or always interested in seeing the stuff. Is that something that kind of extends to your entire life? Are you you kind of come across to me as a kind of a lust for life kind of guy who's always up and game for anything. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I mean, you should kind of know that, because we did get to hang out of a Hood Slam show. And man, I mean, when we hung out, we were having a good time. I mean, I did have to be somewhat responsible. But yeah, I usually am, you know, up for whatever. And I like to have a good time. I like to be with people who have a good time, and, I try anything once. And yeah, and just kind of, I like to hear a lot of where people are coming at and what interests them and what makes them. And so I'm always interested in the individual. And so whatever I can learn from them is kind of a neat thing. So, yeah, man, just learning, you know, learning about the graps. Like you said, you'd send me a bunch of matches. And when I first started, it was a community of people like Brandon Howard, like Dylan Hales, you know, Alan Blackstock, even Josh or Skill Crane. A lot of those guys would help me, you know, help kind of teach me, you know, hey, about a little history and about a little indie and what was going on. And yeah, so it was a good time, and I appreciated it. It was kind of like homework, you guys, well, we would call it, and in a good way, it was giving me content for the show to kind of be like, hey, I learned this, and I don't know, maybe people thought it was interesting, maybe they didn't, I don't know.
No, I think a lot of people found it interesting, and it did seem, as I said, you kind of hit the ground running as soon as you got exposed to indie wrestling and Japanese wrestling. But before that, I mean, what was your exposure? Because it did seem when the show started, you were casual, had watched some WWE. Was that it? It was you watched it when you were a kid and you were just starting to get back into it? Or where was your wrestling fandom from the beginning and then kind of like, you know, as it developed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if a whole lot of your fan base know who I am. But, you know, Talking Sheet, we kind of cover the coverage of wrestling. So it's very niche, and Les and Silly and I, we kind of teamed up and just took any avenue we could, and you know, just brought it to the show. So yeah, before Talking Sheet started, man, I grew up in the 80s, and my older sister and I just loved WWF, absolutely loved Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, that like early, like 80, 82, 83, 84. And here's a funny thing is like, I felt like I was brainwashed by WWF back then, because I was like, no, I'll never watch WCW. You guys are like, WWF is the best, you know? And so I was all into that, like very cartoon-esque wrestler, you know? That WWF provided at that time, that I think a lot of people, the generation before, and maybe WCW was a little bit more, I don't know, what would you say, a little bit more like real or a little sports. Harder?
Yeah, it was like sports oriented.
Yeah. So so me and my older sister were big into WWF growing up, and you know, we still are like talk to each other in Macho Man voices and shit, you know.
But who's the cream of the crop is what I want to know.
It was always Ultimate Warrior for me, man. You know, he wasn't very good at wrestler now that I look back at it, but what he did for me as like a little kid, I was just so geeked out of my head. I'm like, you know, shaking the ropes and the crazy hair and all that stuff. But yeah, I was way into it then, and then I fell out for a while, and then kind of came back in about I would say like 99 to like 2001, 2002. Got back in, went, you know, that was my college years, and that's kind of where Les and I met too in college, and was way into ECW. Got into, you know, the Attitude Era. I know you guys were talking about that with Brad on the few shows back. So we were, you know, we were all about that Attitude Era in college. We're college, you know, bros. So we're eating it up. And ECW, you know, who doesn't love chanting that? So those were kind of my areas. And then, you know, faded off, you know, life happened and took me elsewhere. And then kind of started watching recently about 3 years ago. And then about 2 years ago, Les proposed the idea of Talking Sheet and covering the coverage of wrestling and how silly that could be, but also kind of fun. And that's when, you know, Les, myself and Celia got into it. And, you know, just through that experience, quickly I became a fan of Japanese and independent wrestling. I just, you know, I can really appreciate that rawness, that like going for your goal that you're making not a whole lot. Maybe some of are, but everyone's just some are trying to make it, some are trying to make it a living. So I don't know. I just kind of love that aspect of wrestling.
Do you feel like it's because that's not what you were exposed to as a kid, as you said, where the WWE was the over-the-top cartoony, so now you want that gritty realness?
You know, and maybe in some ways, but really I think what it is my exposure to WWE and their business and like the practice, just through like reading all the dirt sheets of, I'm about to name some dirt sheets, but, the Wrestling Observer and, you know, Wade's, PW Torch, reading those and kind of learning about them and even learning about, I don't know if you remember, but Les and I used to do the Rear View, where we would look back at like one of Meltzer's old observers and just kind of read through that. And we used to do that up until Between the Sheets came out and just dominated that genre, which is awesome because I love Bixenspan and Brother Zellner. But no, just learning kind of business practices then, now, kind of knowing, having an idea of what I think indie wrestling is and I don't know what I love about it. There's just something about that independent and that Japanese. I guess it's somewhat new, but it's also like not tainted as much. So that maybe is some of it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And actually you talked about what I like to call Hugh and Les's, they call it the Rear View, much like Naomi's, like she calls it the Rear View. Was that you guys came at like the perfect time because there was Todd Martin on F4W doing the Observer segment where he would read through whatever was the most recently posted Retro Observer on F4W. And then there was all that unpleasantness, which also kind of in some ways was a good thing for the website because it was hot, you know, hot gossip going on in regards to wrestling journalism. And here you guys are covering that and then also filling the niche that's now missing with Todd Martin gone. And, you know, as you sort of, I guess, jettisoned that format for, let's say, a more freeform kind of talk show format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Between the Sheets takes over.
Yeah.
And now is doing, like, probably the way more in-depth. And how do you feel about that? Because in some ways you guys were in the middle of that concept. Who knows, maybe someone was doing it even before. But in some ways you guys were kind of like in the middle. Hey, pop this out. This is a viable idea, and then it continues to grow bigger. Do you feel, I don't know, jealousy might not be the right word, but do you feel kind of like, hey, they took our idea? Or are you just kind of like proud that you guys were involved in the chain that helped create or like led to there being a show that's just that good?
Man, I better not see those guys. No. No, I actually absolutely love them. I actually am so thankful they did the show because we actually didn't have to do that anymore, which it was very cool, but it was a very time consuming. It was a second show unto itself. You absolutely nailed it, brother. When Todd kind of faded out, that's kind of right when Talking Sheet happened, and Les absolutely with the intention of, hey, that is no longer, there's no longer, that audience wanted that kind of throwback podcast, and it's gone. And we, Les was like, let's do this. He had a great little idea, and we kind of followed. I don't know what year we were doing. I believe it was like 77 or 78. And just followed it to like WrestleMania, and it was really cool and really fun. But once Chris and David started doing it, I was like, whoa, what's this between the sheets? I was like, it sounds like Talking Sheet, and and I'm like, well, like dirt sheets are just part of the vocabulary. So and then got to know who both of those guys are. Have had both of those guys on the show, although I didn't get to talk to David Bixenspan. And they really do a good job. They go over top, like they're just insane. So I'm glad that they do it, and I'm glad that we could focus on basically, you know, running down what was going on in the week of wrestling, what everyone was talking about. And then, you know, I would throw it down on my segment, Hugh's Views. and then Celia would have how Celia sees it. And then all those little funny, like Inspector Ringside and all Les's little funny segues, our little segments and stuff. So, man, no, it's been a fun ride too. So,
can we have a segment called Tim's Tales?
Well, no, okay, yeah. You mentioned Hugh's Views after the Rear View, right? Yeah. But I'm here. I'm asking cues to the master of Hugh's Cues.
Yeah.
And I mean, how much? Like, how big was that to you, getting to ask, you know, Hugh's Cues, the interview stuff? Because it almost feels like Hugh's Cues could break off into its own thing and be just like an interview podcast. Is that something that you're into, or was that just kind of you were filling that as you were doing interviews? How passionate are you about interviewing people? Because for me, obviously, it's a big deal. I really enjoy getting to interview people, but how was it for you?
Oh, well, for me, I really love getting to talk to all the different personalities of wrestling, and I've instantly, you know, I've become brothers with a lot of these guys and girls, and so brothers and sisters, I should say. So I love it. I love, there's something about the combo that we have where Les can really bring some really intellectual questions and have the knowledge to understand, you know, what's going to be like, whatever the answer is. And I'm, you know, I'm a lighthearted guy. So, you know, I'll get heated in a question and really hit it hard. But I will also, I kind of, you know, I'm always kind of silly, and the Hughes Cues, that was, you know, that's kind of silly questions and throwback questions that I just thought were a way to kind of get to know whoever we were having on the show a little bit better, you know, like your first wrestling toy growing up, your favorite mullet, your favorite mustache on the wrestlers. Like they're kind of silly, you know, funny questions. But everyone's rolled with it. They've been some of the funny, I think some of the funniest parts of when we've had people on, and even Hugh's Views. That segment that I didn't know what that was going to be, and it changed so many times when we started to where it was and where it will be at once we start again. Is it was a great little area where I could really put people over in a way. There was a lot of cool work being done by big and little people on the internet, and whether it be, you know, small podcasts, new pod, you know, all sorts of websites and writings and drawings and whatnot, GIFs and just silly, you know, anything to do with wrestling. I got to whatever kind of captured my attention, got to kind of put a light on it, and it's just really a privilege to be like, hey, this guy wrote this really cool article on this site, and you know, you should check it out, and here's a little bit, and you know, this guy, I highly recommend what he's doing, and keep an eye on him and keep an eye on this site, or you know. So that was, and it's kind of cool to see those websites and those podcasts growing and accepting me, giving like them love. Like, that's a big part of who I am, you know, is just giving love, man. I'm always about that. And yeah, so I've been really thankful, and it's really impacted me, like, just personally been like, man, I have a really cool family out there that likes what I do, and it's a cool feeling that I have, and that I get to do that. So it's really cool, and I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful for the Sheheads. Yeah.
Yes, of course. So you grew up in the Bay Area where you're at, like close to where you're at now, correct? Like Northern California?
Yeah, yeah. Bay Area. Yeah, Bay Area I grew up.
And from there you moved kind of back east for college, or did you move back east even earlier?
Even earlier, basically after, remember that 89 earthquake, the World Series earthquake? Like a few months after that, we moved from the Bay Area to New Hampshire. And I was like, is that in the United States? I don't even know. This is, I'm like, what, like 12. And yeah, we go to New Hampshire and we move out in the woods. Kind of had to readjust from, like, you know, a city kind of city kid growing up to growing up in the woods and whatnot. And no, it was a cool experience. I didn't love it at first, but I grew to love it, and I went to college, you know, out there. That's where I met Les and his brother, and eventually wanted to get back out to California. I always say it's like the motherland, and a lot of trying times and some ups and downs during that process. I'm not a perfect human being. I did a lot of, you know, I partied a lot, had some ups and downs there, and tragedies in the family and stuff, and that was kind of sad, and you know, and just kind of always grinding and trying to get back to California, and finally got back out here, and that's, you know, eventually got to live by the coast where I am now, Santa Cruz area, which is very beautiful, and you know, that's where I met Celia, and Les and I reconnected. He was living out in this area, and he kind of got me a job down here and a place to live, and I was like, right on, brother, I'll be there in a minute, and we just been friends for a while, and that's, we just were like, let's, we actually used to do another podcast, the three of us, before, that was kind of just like pop culture, retro pop culture shit, and basically only our parents listened. You know, it was like, yeah, we'd get like four downloads, and so whatever, and then we eventually, Les had the idea, and that's when we got together again, and everyone's been, you know, we grinded at it for a year and a half and then had to stop, and we're about to pick it back up, and it's been cool, and my wife, she's been cool with it. It does sometimes get in the way with life, but you make sacrifices and whatnot, but yeah, really cool time, man.
Yeah, and I was actually going to ask you that, so it's nice it came up on its own. Just like background in, let's say, communications, interviews, podcasting, all that. You did a podcast before, but I mean, the three of you all went to school for different stuff, and so you didn't really go to school for, you know, I guess broadcasting or journalism or anything along those lines, right?
No, not at all. Always love. I really, really am way into music. I got a really good, healthy obsession with it. And always kind of liked radio and DJing and kind of making mixtapes, you know, and I don't know. I like that kind of aspect of, I don't know, just hearing your voice and then like music too. Yeah, I went to school for graphic design and just knowing, you know, when I met Les in college, he kind of was on the verge. I mean, that was like, I'd say like 99, 2000. He was kind of doing some, like, I don't know if it was podcasting, but doing some sort of something, you know, messing around. And that's when like Napster and all those companies were around and yeah, I just knew he was always into it, and we got together, and Les has always been into that, you know, the broadcasting and stuff, and he just hooked up with one of his guest rooms and turned it into a studio, just decided one day to do it and really did it, and hooked it up, and we have a nice kind of three-man setup over at his house, which is like 2 minutes, well, probably about a 10-minute drive for me. Celia, it's probably about a 5-minute drive for her, and we throw down at Sheet Sandwich World headquarters in the Talking Sheet studio. So yeah, no, it's been really cool, and honestly, you guys, is like, at first I hated myself podcasting, and I would critique the hell out of myself and be like, oh, listen to me, I'm saying and I'm saying, you know, and I'm saying all these stupid words and I'm talking over less, and then I really wanted to try to craft that better and get better at letting him speak and letting him breathe and knowing when I can chime in and learning, you know, just kind of getting a little bit better at that. So it's something that, you know, I'm like, this is kind of a cool learning experience for me, and I take it somewhat serious.
Somewhat serious, but still try to stay lighthearted, right?
Yeah.
You said the old show was more pop culture and not about wrestling, and it just kind of didn't catch that same traction, I guess, because the wrestling just has that niche audience who's so rabid especially for audio at this point. But how did you really enjoy kind of doing a show that was maybe a little bit less focused in that regard on a certain topic, or what did you think of that? Like, if I hate to say it, but if you could have it, would you like to have, you know, just a pop culture podcast kind of thing, or what's your preference?
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, we've talked about it, three of us, but it's just always, you know, do you have the time? Yeah, I love talking about pop culture stuff. I especially love retro pop culture. Love everything, you know, the 80s is my era that I love and live in. I know that might sound corny and cheesy, but that is exactly everything I love about the 80s, corny and cheesy. So yeah, I don't know. Just yeah, good times, man. I don't know what else to really say about that.
So if you said you would want to do something like that.
Okay. Yeah. I think it would be cool. You know, it's work. I think podcasts, when you do them, you don't necessarily know how much work it is until you start really getting into it and you want to take it serious. So I know how much work you got to take, but man, it's fun. And if it's something that's up my alley, I will totally throw down and have a good laugh and a beer and, you know, just have a good time with it, man. So hell yeah.
Speaking of a beer, you were excited to be on. You even told me that you had a beer or a craft beer you wanted to get into talking about here with us. And what are you drinking on tonight?
Well, I know, yeah, you and Adrian, I really dig what you guys do. You guys have a cool vibe, man. Adrian's
thank you.
Like, dude, you got such a mellow kind of like, what's going on? Like, what's going, what's, I want to, yeah, so it's really cool, and I appreciate, you know, talking about beer and stuff. It's kind of cool. So, yeah, I grabbed a Coronado Brewing Company.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of more Northern California, I think, and it's a Islander IPA, and it's really hoppy. It's got a Sentinel and then Chinook and Columbus hops in it. And
that sounds
yeah,
good.
Man, I just was like, I'm doing this right for Adrian and Tim, so cheers. Oh,
thank you. Cheers.
That's the one with the mermaid on the bottle, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah. We get that out here, too.
I just looked it up. It looks like if Starbucks was a beer company, that's what their logo would look like.
Yes! You nailed it, man.
Yeah, that's it.
That well, is it, man.
Not to be outdone, I had something here, too. It's
oh, no.
Stone. It's Stone Brewing, which is not something that I would normally have on top beer just because it's slightly more mainstream at this point, but it's their Ripper San Diego Pale Ale. It Ooh. Says a ripping swell of juicy hops on it, and it's got a mixture of Cascade, Galaxy, and I think that's it. But it's funny because the packaging, and it's saying like a ripping swell of juicy hops, and all of a sudden that I thought it was their take on a Northeast IPA, kind of like an East Coast style IPA, but it's really not. It's definitely 100% San Diego style pale ale. So I think in some ways it's supposed to be a takeoff and also like a counter argument against the Northeast IPAs, which I was looking forward to see if Stone was going to do like a Northeast IPA, because that would be an interesting thing, because they're just so kind of known as San Diego purists, and it's definitely not a stray away from San Diego style. Still good though, definitely. Something interesting, I'd say, if you're not into heavy, crazy hoppiness and you see this on the shelf, it's definitely a nice kind of introductory West Coast IPA, as it's not even an IPA. It's just a pale ale.
Well, both those sound delicious. Now, I have to say what I'm drinking tonight. And I'm drinking Southern Comfort Vanilla Spice Eggnog.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And
yeah,
I read on the side, and it is by the same company. In fact, they recommend that you mix 1 quart eggnog with 1 cup of Southern Comfort, pour in a glass, and garnish with a little cinnamon stick. That sounds delicious.
I think they got that backwards. I think you want 1 quart of Southern Comfort with a 1 cup of eggnog.
So just a splash of eggnog?
Yeah, just for color, really.
Did you get the cinnamon stick?
No, I'm just drinking it, you know, from the carton, putting it in the glass, and it's really good. It's actually really good. Like, I don't know if you guys like eggnog, but this is my favorite one, and I'm so disappointed that it's such a seasonal drink, you know. But every year I make it a point to get this specific eggnog because it's like my favorite.
That's why I like those Mexican pudding packs that have the rompope year round.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because
it's like eggnog flavor. I always think that's so funny that it seems. In Mexico, I don't know because I've never really spent a lot of time in Mexico, obviously.
Well, you're in Los Angeles, so pretty close.
Yeah, but in Mexico, it seems like rompope, like eggnog flavor, is an okay for year-round thing. But for some reason in America, it's not, which is kind of a bummer because I do like eggnog flavor. Like, I'm into it.
Oh, well, you should try this if you ever have a chance. But your guys' yeah. beers sound really good, by the way, especially that IPA. You know, I love IPAs.
That's true.
Well, you know what? Hey, I'm a big fan, and I heard Adrian you talk about this on a past show. Is if the graphics on the bottle is cool, I'm buying it.
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah, definitely.
So and a lot of times it could be a bad move, you know, because it's like, oh, they spent a little bit money, too much money on the graphic designer, and not enough on the beer, you know. No, but that's how I kind of roll too. I'm like, ooh, what looks cool? There was one that had like a cow on it, and I was like, holy shit! And I thought I should get it. I don't know why I didn't. The cow was kind of looking at me and intimidated me. So,
well, was it a milk stout? What was it?
You know what? I didn't even get that close because I had had this, and then it was like I was like, wait, was that a cow? And then I looked back, and it was this awkward moments were had. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I saw today when I was getting this was a New Belgian collaboration with Ben & Jerry's ice cream. It was a chocolate chip cookie dough ale, and that had a cow on it. So maybe that's what you saw. But that's a little bit out there. But no, it's so funny. You're right. The packaging will make you buy it, and then conversely, it'll make you not buy it. And there's been beers and breweries where I didn't like their aesthetic and their art, and then come to find out later that their stuff is really good.
Yep, so
like, it can totally turn you off as well as turn you on.
Hey, Stone has done that to me.
Really?
Yeah. So.
You didn't like their art, or?
Yeah. It's because they carry that a lot. The Stone Brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be like, what is there? Is there a devil one?
It's like a gargoyle, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't love. I'm like, I don't want this one.
Yeah.
Does it scare you? Or are you afraid to have your inviting Satan into the house?
Yeah. It reminds me of like Ghostbusters, and I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
I get it too. It's a little too death metal for me. I don't know. It's just kind of off-putting for some reason.
Definitely. I can definitely see that. I get it. All right. Well, I guess now that we've had our little episode of Top Shot hidden inside of this week's episode, Top Beer Shot, we'll take a quick break and come back and maybe see if Adrian has some questions he's been thinking about.
Definitely. Let's do it.
All right.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit clotheslines and headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and, Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place of Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, so we're back, and I know I can just tell from the way Adrian has been kind of chiming in here and there that he's also champing at the bit. We just have a chomp off tonight. Adrian, and I can't blame you because Hugh is such a good brother, and the second you start talking to him, it's just like infectious personality. You want to get to know him better. So Adrian, I know you got some questions for Hugh.
I do. First of all, what's an IPA? No, honestly, I'm curious, and I know you, Tim, you've explained this before. The sheets, and as far as the term in wrestling, what exactly is it, and why is it important?
You put them on your blank on your bed? No.
Oh
yeah. No. So I learned a few years ago. Not that it's pretty recent. It's a wrestling sheet, and it's basically there's a couple guys in the wrestling industry that have written about wrestling and the results of shows and kind of the bios of people and kind of the dirt on people. A lot of times I feel what's really going on behind the scenes. So they've basically written a wrestling journal and published it for, for fans and for, I don't know, I can't think off the top of my head. Tim, you would probably know. I don't know, how, like 20, 30 years, Meltzer or Wade Keller have been putting their dirt sheets out.
Yeah, I mean, the Observer, I think, has been going technically since, like, the 60s.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really putting it out. But dirt sheets originated for music journals. They called the music journals in Nashville the dirt sheet. And then someone started just kind of calling the wrestling dirt sheets that, and it's kind of just stuck.
Okay, so it's like wrestling jargon for like publications that talk about wrestling, basically.
Yeah. And like you would get a newsletter in the mail, so you would actually get like printed sheets, like a little newsletter that's like all like I don't know about 12, 16 pages. And it was written from, Dave Meltzer. And, yeah, you would get it in the mail and just read it. And it was paper, so it was a sheet. And, yeah, it was like, so that's what they call it. And so we are talking about the what's being written in those sheets on a weekly basis.
That's cool. I like the play on words and that. And I like learning about, the jargon for different like hobbies and whatnot. I really like the word kayfabe, by the way. That's probably my favorite one. I don't understand what it means. I know what it means, but I don't understand how that came to be. But I think it's a cool word, you know, like caring.
Yeah. Like Mark.
Oh, Mark.
Have you heard Mark?
I have heard Mark. Yeah. And obviously heel. And what's the other one? What's the opposite of heel?
Baby face.
That's the one. No, it's cool learning about this stuff. That's why I was curious exactly, you know, what it meant and how can it be. And that's interesting to hear that people would send it through the mail. Do they still do that, or is that kind of an antiquated thing?
You know what? They still do that. Both. It is both. Yes. It's one of the things that we talk about. And I actually, it's funny. We had a moment where I don't know what was going on, but Les was telling me about getting these things in the mail. And I had mail, like Allen Iverson was saying practice. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about mail. Like in 2016, like we're still like mailing it. Like we're not emailing. And so I don't know. But then this is the thing I don't hate about it, is that like people love that nostalgic thing, man.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that in a world where everything is digital, it's nice that stuff like that is still like, you know, in a printed medium. It's something you can physically hold in your hands, you know.
Hey, I used to graphic design and do the layout for a couple papers in Sacramento area, and like so, I love seeing people with newspapers, you know.
Yeah.
Like I was in that industry for a while, so I have a certain love for that. Although it's, you know, it's not very green.
Not to go too off topic, but do you guys ever notice, like, if you go to the airport or anywhere where there's, like, people waiting, it's always old people who are reading, like, actually physically still reading newspapers. Do you ever notice that?
Yeah, I think it's awesome, though. I'm like, man, I hope I do that. I hope I pick it up.
I have definitely noticed that. I don't have the same fervor for it, though.
No? Are you sure about that?
I'm sure.
You don't pick up a copy of the Wall Street Journal on your way to the store or whatever?
Not.
No? Oh, but maybe you did. LA Times or something like that. That's cool, though. So the sheets. So it's just the publications for talking about. So it's kind of a meta show that you do, it sounds like, Hugh. Like,
very meta.
Yeah. And like, how deep into it do you get? Like, do you sort of like critique like the writer's opinion on stuff, like, or how do you sort of break it down, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, so it's really when I when I was asked to kind of do it, it was just, you know, just being like, what's your opinions? And sometimes I would go to like the websites, and you know, it was like they were like ancient, you know, like they looked ancient, man.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, go like as a new guy going into the like being just being like, I've never ever, this is a world I didn't know existed, and being like, okay, I'll sign up, and like just having a hard time signing up, you know, and signing up, and once you get on, just being like, what is the experience of like this website, and what is the writing like, and how do they lay it out. And just kind of talking about that, like, you know, is when they put an article up, is there links to what they talk about? Is there links to the writer? Is there, it's just little things like, is it aesthetically pleasing to your eye? You could get like really picky. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily always get like that, but you could just be honest. And that was what I found, is like, kind of people like that honest, like, hey, I didn't realize my website was kind of like this, and I kind of want to fix it now. And in some ways, people would. And Les, he has a very journalistic background, and so he, you know, he has certain expectations too. So we kind of got into, I mean, yeah, it was very critique, and we would get a lot of shit like, who are you to critique these? And I'm like, I am nobody to critique this, honestly. I'm just a dude that was asked to check this out for the first time and give me your opinions, and I gave my honest opinions, and for the most part, it's been positive, man. It's, you know, like, this is really good writing. I wish, you know, maybe they did this a little bit better and whatnot. But some of the things that I've, you know, said on the show, websites have took and kind of ran with it and changed things that maybe not necessarily through me per se, but enough people talking about it and kind of exposing it. And people have thanked me too. Like, dude, I didn't realize, like, that's, I got to fix that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Just being honest, man. And again, like, people would be like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm nobody. So you can critique me, dude. Like, so.
Do you have a favorite person who writes about wrestling that you like to talk about on your show specifically?
You know what? Yeah, there was. I would say that there's. When I first started out, I would say my favorite two writers were Brandon Howard and James Caldwell. And James Caldwell wrote for the PW Torch, and Brandon Howard would write for Voices of Wrestling, and randomly some other spots. But I just always liked the very kind of intellectual and kind of just really thinking about wrestling in that kind of manner, and and maybe exposing some of the things about wrestling. So that I really dug those two guys. But yeah, man, through my time, there's been so many people, and there's so many new people every day like that pop up, guys and girls, old and young. So it's kind of like, you never know. Like, I could be something from somebody that's 16 years old. That's great. And I could be reading something from a guy that's like 54 years old, and it's just as great. And they're on the same website, and it's kind of cool. So yeah, cool. Good times. Yeah,
definitely.
Man.
And I know you probably can't give away who said, or who actually openly said, like, thanks for these opinions and this and that. But as you said, you're nobody to critique. I thought in my head, I said, you're everybody to critique, because you're that common man, that person who's reading the website. So your opinion matters, because you are the people that they're trying to get to read this stuff. So that's why, you know, you have the place to be critiquing them. But do you feel like it was important, or it's part of being a journalist? I know it's important in being a food critic, but did you think it was important to have some anonymity? You know, you guys obviously use kind of pseudo names or false names and don't put out there exactly who you are. Do you think that was important in protecting kind of the integrity of the podcast and of the website?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. In fact, there were moments where it would be, tempting, because we would hear chatter like, you know, somebody else wants to rise up. And it was just being like, well, how could we go anywhere and really critique the stuff coming from them when you know, it's like being under their wing and critique them. So we just felt like our independence was crucial. So Les always was going to have the website Sheet Sandwich. We were always going to have the Talking Sheep podcast, and we were, you know, we're always going to be independent. There's been moments where, you know, it's been tough because you're like, well, where could this path lead? And I, you know, in fact, when Talking Sheep ended, there was a moment where I kind of wasn't sure if I totally wanted to stop podcasting, but I knew Les and Celia and even myself kind of needed a break, but I wasn't – I kind of still wanted to podcast, and there was a few opportunities that even I got thrown my way and presented from a few, you know, wrestling sites and pop networks that I was really floored and flattered that I was even considered to, you know, host Hughes Views on their platform. So that was really cool. So yeah, but I always kind of was like in that like, man, I don't know, like I feel like I always want Hughes Views and Talking Sheet and Sheet Sandwich to be that independent, and we're not influenced by anybody, and you know, we are gonna, you know, we're gonna do, you know, we're gonna have our opinions and be biased in the ways that we are as, you know, people, but you know, we're not taking any money under the table. So you know, just listening to shows past the last few days, you know, I know Adrian, you're into games here a little bit, mm-hmm. and you're into comics and whatever.
Yeah.
So I wanna, when we used to do the three of us used to do our pop culture show, we had a show where we had to we did a draft for superpowers, and I'm wondering if you could pick one superpower, what superpower would be your superpower?
You know what? It's tough. It's either between flying and being able to go invisible. Because I've always thought that flying would be cool, like just be able to fly anywhere. And I've always thought being invisible would be really cool because you can, like, you know, spy on people, which I know sounds, it makes me sound like a terrible person.
God, you creep.
Well, hey, but it's really hard to choose between the two, to be honest with you.
Ooh, no, yeah, that is. That's why we did a draft on our show, and it was like, don't pick this, don't pick this, and it was so funny. Hey, Tim, what about you? What would you pick?
I would wish for more superpowers. No, I only pick one power. God, I don't know. That's so tough.
It could be anything. Laser vision. Teleporting. You know.
Well, can I just – do I have to pick it – can I, like, pick it based on ones that exist?
Yeah, whatever you want,
like,
man.
Like, characters who exist? Because yeah. I would go for, like, that Dr. Manhattan, Dr. Strange kind of ability to – or even Green Lantern, like, ability to influence the entire existence and the entire universe, essentially.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Because then you have, like, all the powers you want all at once.
God, jeez, way to just ruin it for everyone.
You know what? I'm gonna go with flying. I'm gonna go with flying because even if I could go invisible, like I would eventually run out of interesting people to like spy on. So I feel like if I could fly anywhere, I could easily just like just learn how to be more stealthy. But at least I could fly anywhere I want. So I'm gonna go with flying. That's gonna be my superpower. Yep.
All right, that's a good one.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Right on. No, that was it.
I'm going to go with Batman's powers and just be really rich.
Oh, also, yeah. You want to be like our president-elect, basically.
Yes, President Timothy P. Batman.
Timothy P. Batman, nice.
Damn, I forgot. Oh, so I don't even know where we're going or what I was going to say.
I just threw us off track.
Completely.
That's what I do on the Talking Sheet too, man.
All right, so we'll take one more quick break, and then when we come back, we'll hit that final cue. As once again, asking Hugh the final cue. all right.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
All right, so we're back. We're back, everyone. And Tim, I think it's time for the most important part of the show. It's time for the final question.
Yes, it is. So, Hugh, there was so much stuff I wanted to get into with you, and even stuff that I know about you personally, which might lead into the final question, obviously. So someone who only knows Hugh Little from Talking Sheet and maybe from a couple articles you do on SheetSandwich.com or just from wrestling Twitter anyways, or possibly just from being a good brother that you are, what's something that would really shock them to find out about Hugh Little, you know, kind of in the realm outside of wrestling journalism or the wrestling bubble?
Wow. Okay, so besides really being into mullets, besides really being into retro stuff, beers, yeah, having a good time. No, I would say a couple things, man. Here's a funny one from my past is I was an altar boy once.
Oh, nice.
So, wow. I went to a Catholic school for a minute and had like nuns teaching me and was an altar boy. And I think that's what kind of like spurred me on to like really rebel in life.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was something. I don't know if this is very like totally known on the show, but I'm really OCD. Like not like crazy, but I like everything like really clean and kind of neat. And like it's kind of funny, like as like kind of free spirit and kind of like I just kind of like to have a good time at party. Like I still like order and clean and so my like I'm like a neat freak in that kind of way. And then other than that, like I think another cool thing is I'm a graphic designer right now, but I used to also cook at restaurants, and I used to work the line, and wow. did that at a few restaurants, and
that's tough
pizza
work.
Cooked.
Huh?
Yeah, it was it was so fun, such a good time. I really really enjoyed that part of my life. So those are kind of neat little things I don't ever talk about so much. So, but I really I love to get back into cooking one day and whatnot, but. Yeah, those are a couple of weird things.
Really quick, what are the duties of being an altar boy? I never really understood what they do exactly.
Yeah, there was like, honestly, it was like, I think I had to like light a candle, like one of the altar candles I had to light. There was a couple of them, I think a couple of us also... had to hand him the wafers that they put in the guy's mouths or put in everyone's mouth, you know?
Yeah.
But there was a lot of putting candles out or lighting candles. And then just kind of just standing beside the podium and being like all like, yeah, display and it was weird, man, because you'd wear uniforms and there was like not all my teachers were nuns, but some of them were, and they would be mean. And here's the thing, man. When I was a kid during those times in my life, and that was right in Burlingame, California. During those times, I was such a good kid, but my older and my younger sisters were like terrorists. And so they were like, they were just always in trouble and getting beaten down by the nuns and shit. And I was a good kid. So, it was cool. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Altar, well,
they're lucky that they were terrorists back then, or else nowadays they'd be getting deported.
So,
what are we in day four? Day four of Trump's America? Is that what we're in now?
Well, by the time people are listening to this, America will no longer exist. But, you know, Hugh, as you mentioned that, I so agree with you. It's like having an office job is just a job, and you just happen to work with people. But when you're on the line, be it, you know, as a chef or in retail of some other kind, I've worked in restaurants, I've done it all, it's like going to war. And it's like those people you work with are your brothers, and you don't have time to bicker back and forth and have a bunch of bullshit. You're just trying to get that shit done. So
yeah.
I miss the camaraderie. It sucks that you're so low paid in those kind of jobs, you know, and it's so high stress, because there is something to that camaraderie that you forge working with other people so closely at such a, you know, arduous task.
Yeah. It's like, how do you want to live your life? Like, what do you want materialistically and like how much money do you want? Because like you could get into like just making like pizzas and sandwiches and just kind of being simple, but that, you know, that might, you know, that might be the reality for a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know, because it is tough, because it's just tough to really make it as, you know, as a chef, and not only like whatever it just does to your family, you know, those hours you're working. So, yeah. No, but it was good times, man. That was fun. I like, yeah, totally miss it. But yeah, I work for, you know, I'm bigger. I work for corporate America now, and it pays the bills, and it makes me question, you know, yeah, you know,
just pisses everything.
Yeah. Well, it makes it. Yeah.
And yeah, you being an altar boy as a kid is somewhat shocking, but the part of it is that is not shocking is that even as a young boy, Hugh knew how to keep it lit as he was lighting all the candles.
Literally. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. And the only OCD that I've ever associated with Hugh Little is that you're an overly cool dude. So thanks for being on the show.
Right on. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if there's anything else you want to plug out there.
Yeah.
Just
big time, man. Yes. Because, yeah, I don't know if our show will be out by the time this drops or not, but even if it doesn't, yeah, you know, go to the website. The website is sheetsandwich.com. Les kind of runs it. He's been writing a lot more. I don't know if you've been checking it out at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Les is he's such a great writer. Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
He really is.
Like, it just, like, if you don't, like, if you put wrestling aside, like, you're like, okay, I'm not, who cares? He's writing about wrestling. Just read it, and the way he writes, it's like, yep, it captures your attention. It's funny. It's witty. It's just really, really smooth. But, yeah, and then other than that, Talking Sheet is the podcast. It's on iTunes. We also, you can find us on Twitter, at Talking Sheet Pod. Celia Bloom is, on Twitter, and Les Moore at Pro Wrestling on Twitter, and myself, Hugh Little Sheet. You like that one, Andrew, huh?
Yeah.
Adrian.
Yeah.
Hugh Little Sheet. and then we got the Sheeties going on. So,
I like that one too, the Sheeties.
Yeah, we got the awards show going on.
We're going straight to the Sheeties.
Oh man, it's an extravaganza, man. Unlike no other.
Is like a live thing on the you guys stream or how does that work? Is
there a webcast? No, we might stream this year. We just did the show. I think we did a live show afterwards. We will once in a while do live shows and have call-ins and all that stuff. We did a big old like hoopla. So nominees are going on right now, and if you go to sheetsandwich.com right now, you can check out like all somewhere you'll see. I mean, real quick, it'll be one of the articles, you'll see the Sheety Awards, and you'll see all the categories, and we kind of like take it serious. You can nominate. I believe December 3rd is kind of we're aiming to have the nominations out, and then from that point on you'll be able to vote, and then I think, you know, towards New Year's we will do the award show. And yeah, man, last year Place to Be Nation raked it in, man. Chris Zellner took home a bunch of awards. You guys took home Best Podcast Network. So, Place to Be was very well represented. And the cool thing is you guys, like, I mean, whatever. You take it for whatever it is. You know, it's just, it's our little thing. But, hey, Brad and JT, they all were cool with it and kind of proud of it. And other people were, too. So, I don't know. It's cool. So, get involved. Hashtag Sheeties.
Yeah, no. And awesome. I definitely am proud. 100% get out there. Vote for PTBN as the network for sure. I know I shouldn't even be shilling in what feels like an official capacity because Hugh is on here talking about it, but definitely that. And the other, for me, the other big one, and it's not PTBN, but it is, you know, Wrestling with Words, which is my kind of other network I work with, is I do believe that Isaac Wrestles for Puro in the Rough really deserves something for the best Japanese wrestling coverage, because that his coverage of Japanese wrestling, I mean, I don't see anybody else who's getting into the deeper indies and really knowing all the stuff inside and out as well as he does. But you know, otherwise, I'm not gonna show for anybody else. Otherwise, and looking at the calendar here, this podcast, when this is coming out, you only have a few more days to get there and nominate. So get on Talking Cheap quick and nominate these awards as fast as you can. And again, Hugh, thank you so much. As always, go check out all my stuff. I plug it enough. You know what it is. So check that out and follow us on Twitter at Lucha Undead. Adrian, you got anything else?
No, I'm just follow me at Dilla Boots on Twitter, and that's about it.
Wait, I tried to do that, and I had no idea what the hell you said and how to spell it.
Oh, Dilla Boots?
Yeah.
I think you already follow me on there, don't you? I thought you did.
Do I? Maybe I do.
Maybe
hold on.
Do.
Well, for people,
yeah,
for people who have a harder time, it's @ DellaBoots, correct?
Dilla Boots, uh-huh.
De La Boots. It's like De La Soul, but with shoes.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Adult. ADLT.
Yes.
Yeah. There I am.
Yeah, man. Nah, thank you guys for having me on. I really dig your show, Tim. You're a great host. Adrian, you're a good co-host. And, like, you got a good vibe to you and a good sound to you, too, bro.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You could honestly show – I could see you getting a nomination for like, we have a category for just voice. Yeah, man. It's – you know what it kind of reminds me of in a way? Rob McCarron. You're very Rob McCarron-y.
I'll have to and listen more to him to see if that's true.
Yeah, former guest of the show, Rob McCarron.
Yes. I remember now.
Yes. So, no.
No, thanks, thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Well – you know, with the importance of the Sheedy's coming on, everyone knows it's amazing. But the thing about the Sheedy nominations and the Sheedy Awards in general is that they really also revolve around the most important thing in life, which is the three B's. Good beers, good buds, and good banter. Hey, good night.